Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome.
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. I am Neil McCready. Russell Johnson of Rivals.com and RebelGrove.com is here as well. We will get to recruiting in a little while. Chad Simmons of Rivals.com will join us on this particular program as well. So we'll get to a lot of recruiting. It's been a busy, kind of final camp circuit. We're taping this on July the 31st. Which means that by the time you hear this, the dead period will have started. Recruiting will slow down as fall camps open at the college level and as the high school prospects turn their full attention to their practices and their school year. Most of the kids in Mississippi, for example, start school middle of next week. So recruiting will slow down for a little while until probably a little later in the month when some kids will take some unofficial visits and those kind of things, and we'll talk about that as we go. But today we'll talk camps, some latest commitments, and we'll visit with Chad Simmons, who plays a large role in the coverage of Southeastern recruiting for Rivals.com. First, let me tell you about Billy's Pecans. Billy's Pecans in Crenshaw, Mississippi. It's billyspecans.com. Maybe you're getting ready for your tailgate. Maybe it's a high school football tailgate. Maybe you're getting ready to hang out in the Grove. You're getting ready to go to Houston. You're making a road trip. Any of those occasions would be a perfect time for Billy's Pecans. The cinnamon spice pecans are fantastic. My favorite's just the toasted pecans. They're just remarkable. If you want a sweeter taste, you can get that as well. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, chocolate amaretto, chocolate Grand Marnier. There's a sugar-free chocolate option as well. 1 pound boxes, 2 pound boxes, gift bags where you get 5 8-ounce packages where if you want to try a sample, you can do that as well. They've got more than pecans. They've got Southern Pecan Toffee, the fabulous Cheese Krispies, Pecan Brittle, Cinnamon Pecan Coffee Cake, Blueberry Pecan Coffee Cake, jellies, sauces, and more. It's great for corporate gifting. It's great for your tailgate. It's billyspecans.com or 1-800-624-7404. If you do us a favor when you talk to the people at Billy's Pecans, tell them you heard about it on this podcast, and that would be really cool of you. We would appreciate it. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call that number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you are looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no haggling. You get a quote, and you can shop it around, or you can go ahead and take my word for it. Take the word of a lot of your fellow podcast listeners who have taken advantage of this. Clark Ford's going to give you the best deal. They're going to give it to you with no haggle, no hassle. It's a great car buying experience. You get a great vehicle, great service after the sale. It's just a remarkable dealership that they have over there. Corey and the people there are fantastic. You will enjoy dealing with them. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. You'll save an additional $500 on your already great deal at Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Russell, how are you?
Doing good, doing good. Like you said, the dead period will get started again, I believe, at midnight tonight. And I think it goes all the way through to right to before the regular season gets started. August 31st, I believe, is when it ends.
Yeah, so really up until the first game weekend around the country.
Yeah, that's exactly what it'll be. And then with that, you know, obviously recruits can't visit. And then contact will be limited with recruits as well from coaches, at least from a – from a communication standpoint on, you know, university-issued cell phones.
It's well done. You're learning. I like the ability to read between the lines. All right, so a lot happened, again, as we tape this on Tuesday. A lot happened over the last, 96 hours. Take us through the camp, who all came. Talk about the commitments that occurred, what that means for this class a little bit.
Yeah, so Dannis Jackson, the receiver from Sumrall, who was committed to Mississippi State, made the decision on Monday night to flip, obviously, to Ole Miss, which was a big get for Peeler, for Ole Miss, and really for the in-state recruiting, especially in the Hattiesburg area where they still are in on several top targets. And then they also landed the commitment yesterday of Lafayette linebacker Eric Jeffries, who everybody is eager and anxious to either get him a star ranking or, you know, see film on him and stuff. And really, I don't think you can judge a prospect just based off of a camp, just like you can't base a quarterback just off of 7-on-7. You don't want to do that. And when sometimes when reporters and analysts tend to do that, most of the time they're usually wrong. And that's something that we, you know, at least at Rivals, we pride ourselves on not doing. Both of those are big gets, and then there are still some other fish out there. You've got Darius Thomas, Jonathan Mingo, Jaden Jackson from Arkansas, and then you've also got the visit that DeJuan Black took to Florida, which never materialized into the flip that many expected would occur. There are some things going on behind the scenes there that didn't add up. So as of right now, Black is still committed to Ole Miss.
All right. There were the two commitments over the last – I don't know. Again, we're taping this on Tuesday. You're going to hear it on Wednesday. So two commitments late in the weekend, early in the week. Did you expect more than that?
I would have placed the over-under at two. You had heard rumblings of three or four, and I think there still could be some between now and the time that the listeners hear this. So that's something to keep an eye on for sure. The other potential additions, as I mentioned a minute ago, would be, you know, Darius Thomas, possibly Jonathan Mingo, especially Mingo, because Mingo has wanted to get his recruiting process over with and focus on potentially winning a state title at Brandon this year before heading off to college.
If I told you that I believe Jonathan Mingo has already made his decision, that even the vehicle for distributing that decision has been created, he's just waiting for the time that he feels right, would you tell me I was crazy?
No, I would not say you were crazy. I would say you're pretty spot on.
Jerry and Ely kind of back in the news as he gets ready for his season. I'm on record, and most people agree with me, actually. I started to say a lot of people are angry at me, but that's not really true. One of the rare times that's not true. I would not play football this year.
Right, I agree.
In large part because his football stock's not going to go down by not playing. So the whole, I mean, Ole Miss, for example, or anybody else, but Ole Miss is the school he's committed to. Ole Miss is not going to yank his football offer if he goes, hey, I'm going to chill here and make a decision. I'm just going to stay in shape. His first-round pick, probably a high first-round pick in baseball. It's going to be a lot of money. I know no one of significance who believes that he's going to do anything but sign a baseball scholarship. I mean, a baseball contract, not a scholarship. Whoa, hold on. A baseball contract with a professional organization that drafts him. Given that, what are you hearing about him? It sounds like he's going to play his senior season at Jackson Prep. Do you anticipate Ole Miss continuing to use a scholarship spot on him just in case?
I think they do. I think they take that all the way to signing day and sign him to a letter of intent. And then the moment that he will sign that letter of intent, you know, the watch and the eyes go straight to the day of the draft, which I believe is early June.
Yeah.
So but with Ely, you know, playing his senior season, obviously potentially winning another state title is big to him. He was named a member of the Dandy Dozen yesterday, and he's gained all of those, you know, preseason accolades, especially being at Jackson Prep. And it'll just be interesting to see, you know, how – not just how hard he plays, but, you know, how much more wear he gets on those tires before he potentially either gets to the major leagues or gets to college or whatever is going to end up happening. Because, you know, you don't want, obviously, him to get 300 carries going into getting drafted by major league teams, or obviously I don't think it's going to happen, but playing college football.
All right, let's – get some scouting reports. People are asking for them. And on one of these kids, it's really almost impossible to do. And I'm going to let you touch on that. The linebacker from Lafayette here in the Oxford area, is it Eric Jeffries?
Yes.
I know you've seen him at camp.
Yeah.
You haven't really seen film of him. You and a lot of people haven't seen film of him. It's one of the reasons he's he's not really ranked.
No, he's not ranked on our site. I think 247 has him as a 3-star, but I mean that's their decision. You know, they can,
sure,
they can do what they want. But what we're waiting for, obviously, is we want to see him on a Friday night. We want to see how he does. I mean, they opened up with Cleveland Central, and Cleveland Central took it to Lafayette last year to begin the season. I think that's the game where Turnage first got hurt. So it'll be interesting to see how Jeffries and, you know, the rest of the players who were held out last season perform for Lafayette. Lafayette is somebody who I think could contend for the state title in their division. But what it's going to take from Jeffries is going to make the progressions and to continue to grow as a player as he did when you saw him in camps. I mean, he didn't have the fastest 40 in the world. I mean, he looked good in drills. He looked the part of an SEC linebacker to the coaching staff, and they made the decision to offer. But maybe a week or two after they made the decision to offer, Jeffries knew that Ole Miss was where he wanted to be. It was all about timing, getting it done before his senior season, and kind of going from there. I really enjoyed, you know, catching up with him yesterday to talk about his story and everything and how he really thinks that, you know, being able to play football in Oxford and stay in Mississippi, how he thinks it could potentially bring his recently divorced family back together.
Yeah, his story's great.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice, but you know, at the end of the day, of course, everybody on the board wants the stars.
Sure, coaches, fans, yeah, everyone. And there's a good reason for that.
Yeah, I mean,
you give me the option between a whole bunch of 5-stars and a whole bunch of 3-stars, and I'm going to take the 5-stars all day long.
Right.
I know there're going to be some prima donnas in that group. There's going to be some people who have some demands for very immediate playing time, some kids who are going to have to be sort of coach down before you coach them up and all that, yet yep, the talent's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, rivals misses on a player here and there. But we don't miss on all of them.
No, we don't.
So with those 5-stars, if you watch – you've been to it. I've been to it. When you watch like the 5-stars walk into the room in Atlanta and stuff for the media day, they look different than the 3-star.
Yeah, and they know they look different than the 3-star too.
Of course.
They won't let you forget it.
You mentioned Dannis Jackson a little bit. This is an Ole Miss team that's potentially losing basically all of its wide receivers at
yeah,
the end of the year.
Oh, yeah.
How much of an opportunity does he have to impact immediately?
Dannis Jackson?
Yeah.
I don't really think there is going to be. I mean, he may be forced into possibly contributing immediately, but with Dannis, it's going to take a little bit of seasoning. Obviously, as it got put on the message board last night on rebelgrove.com, on the rivals.com network, he does play baseball, and because he plays baseball to go along with football, I don't think he's ever touched a weight in his life. You know, his 160-pound measurement may be a little bit on the generous side, and he's going to really have to put on some weight before he is able to, you know, contribute. But he's got the smoothness, he's got the route-running ability and the football IQ that you like that gets him that 4-star ranking to go along with, you know, when he gets the ball in his hands, normally something good happens.
We get this question a lot, and I always feel like when I answer it, people think I'm ridiculing, and I'm not at all. The question is, so you only have 25 spots.
They got 25 commits.
You got all these commitments. You're still recruiting other kids, and I always say, hey, the numbers work out. Yet I understand the question from a fan perspective of, okay, but how? And that's it's impossible to answer without burning every source you've got.
Right.
But when people ask on this particular case, I mean, how do you make the numbers work without going into specific names, unless you just want to, how many of the kids that are on this list right now today, of these 25, do you anticipate not being on the signing day list?
That are currently committed?
Yeah, on this current commitment list.
I would say I'd place the over-under at 4.
Okay.
There's been some that were previously really active on social media, you know, helping recruit and talk to kids. And, you know, every time you would see Ole Miss anywhere, they would be quote tweeting or replying or DMing or talking to these kids. And a lot of that has stopped. I'm not sure how Ole Miss is going to go about doing that if it ends up being an in-state kid. Obviously, like you said, I'm not going to release drop names. But then also what you're talking about with signing so many in this class, you have to go back to the past 2 years. Where last year they signed James Williams, they signed Cam White, and they signed Noah Jefferson. And none of those three, well, Noah's in the air a little bit, but with Cam and James, neither one of them qualified. So those are two scholarships that opened up. And then you've also got two commitments on the list currently who, for totally different reasons, could never see Oxford.
Okay, so we're getting into the dead period. There are some kids that I know are really close to committing. We just talked about one in Mingo. If you had to guess in the month of August, and again, it's kind of a guess, August into early September, how many guys do you see maybe doing the whole, I need to focus on my senior year, I don't want to do this recruiting thing all through my football season, this is my last year, this is my last year with my friends, blah, 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 all that stuff that's legitimate, and say, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to commit, I'm going to get this over with. Despite the fact that committing does not get it over with. But
not,
in their mind.
Not at all, yeah.
In their mind, they think, hey, if I commit, maybe it'll slow this thing down because I'm sick of this.
Right.
Are there some guys that you think, besides Mingo, are close?
You know, as I mentioned, Darius Thomas. And then kind of after that, that's where you go and you have the top targets remaining. You know, trying to flip Jaron Handy, trying to flip Diamante Russell. Basically, that's when Ole Miss will start to not just target shoot, but I guess really, you know, shoot your shot and try to flip these kids, because other than that, there's really not. And then if they're not able to flip those kids, what'll happen is that's when the B plans will come in. But I don't expect, you know, kind of like last year, what ended up happening was the B plans and the C plans ended up on the commitment list a little earlier than you would have anticipated because of all the uncertainty and everything going on. They wanted to rack up as many commitments as they could before the potential staff change took place. I don't see that happening this year. I see that could, you know, begin to take place in November, into early December. But with everything going on in the month of December, including the early signing period, there's going to be some change.
Yeah, there'll be some new targets that pop up and some guys that fall off the board because of, like you said, I think we both anticipate some degree of staff change.
Yes, exactly.
So, anyway, let me touch one more thing before we go to a break and get to Chad. N'Kobe Dean was in Tallahassee over the weekend.
Yes.
I started up by kind of accident. I really didn't mean to, because I had other things to do that day besides manage a message board. That's my fault. I know it went well. You can see the tweet. Willie Taggart's a very good recruiter. He likes Alabama. He likes Georgia. A week ago, you said Georgia and Alabama were 1 and 2 in some order. Where does Florida State fit in at this point?
I would say they are either alone in third or tied for third with Ole Miss. Obviously, that's not going to be a popular opinion, but that's just what I think it is right now. Do I think that that's going to be the permanent standing? No, obviously not. I did see that Florida State landed another Mississippi kid over the weekend in Charles Cross, the offensive tackle from Laurel. And for Florida State, just continuing that, even without Brewster and the other members of Jimbo's staff that were there and recruited Mississippi so heavily, to continue that, I don't know if you'd call it a pipeline with just two kids, but you also had Derek Hall on campus. You had Ty Keys, the 2021 quarterback from Taylorsville, on campus. I mean, Florida State's doing their best to try to get in Mississippi, and obviously landing N'Kobe Dean would get them there. As for Florida State possibly overtaking Alabama or Georgia, I don't see that, but overtaking Ole Miss, I could definitely see that. With N'Kobe, many people expected him to kind of get down here to Oxford and to Ole Miss before the dead period began. And I had talked to him a little bit yesterday, and he was like, no, you know, fall camp has started. I'm done. We'll talk when the season starts.
All right. What we'll do now is we'll take about a couple of our sponsors, and then we'll get to Chad Simmons. I'll go ahead and tell you that at the end of our interview with Chad Simmons, that will be the end of this podcast. We'll be back sometime next week. Not really sure. Some of it depends on Ole Miss's schedule. High schools and schools start back in Oxford, so we kind of have to get off our summer schedule and onto a regular schedule next week, and I don't really yet know what that exactly means, but we'll figure it out. So we'll get to Chad Simmons in a minute, but let me ask you first. You've cut the lattes. You put in those Curly Q light bulbs and brown bag your lunch to work, but it still feels like payday keeps getting here a day or two late and a few dollars short, right? Well, give State Farm agent Wally Morgan a call and tell him you'd like a free discount double check. It's a line-by-line review of your car insurance policy to make sure you're getting the discounts you deserve. like 10% for being a good driver, another 10% if your teenage driver happens to be a good student, and 17% for simply combining your car and home policies. Add all those State Farm discounts up, and it's pretty easy to see how you could be saving hundreds of dollars a year. So get started today by giving State Farm agent Wally Morgan in New Albany, Mississippi a call, 662-539-7062, because being there to help keep more of your money in your pocket is why he's here. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Discounts may vary state to state. This podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. The Storage Acquisition Group is an industry-leading expert at identifying and acquiring strategically located storage facilities throughout North America and beyond. As the preferred buyer for one of the largest private owners of self-storage in the world, Director Monty Spencer and his team have upended the acquisitions market by giving facility owners a new avenue to divest. How exactly can self-storage facility owners benefit? It's simple. The group buys direct and charges no commission or fees. Their free, no-obligation evaluation even means that you can get a comprehensive picture of your property's value without the need to commit. If you're thinking, yeah, but I don't own a self-storage facility, I was just enjoying the podcast, well, then listen to this. Even if you're not an owner, you can benefit too. The Storage Acquisition Group's buyer has a generous referral program in place for referrals that lead to a closed transaction. Visit www.thestorageacquisitiongroup.com to find out more. Now, Chad Simmons of Rivals.com on the Billy's Pecans Hotline.
Well, we got Chad Simmons here on the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. How's it going, Chad?
Going great, Russell, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. It's been a busy summer over there. You know, you guys obviously had the Rivals Challenge over there, and obviously you've still been traveling.
Yeah, you know, it's great to have the Rivals Five-Star Challenge presented by Adidas, you know, obviously in my backyard, and obviously Mercedes-Benz, it being my second year for the Rivals Five-Star Challenge with the Rivals. We were in Indianapolis last year, and they're using their outdoor practice facility, not near as nice as this year's Mercedes-Benz, obviously the newest stadium in the NFL. So it was great to be close to home, easy to get back and forth each day, and we had a lot of good players there, and it's a great location.
I'm sure you saved a bit of money not having to get a hotel, right?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, obviously, you know, Rivals, you know, takes care of us, and they would have allowed me to get a hotel, but, you know, driving back and forth a little bit less than an hour each day, staying in my own bed, being around my family, being able to kind of work in my own comfortable setting in my office or whatnot was not too hard of a decision. So, yeah, driving back and forth definitely saved some money, not only for me, but for the company as well.
Now, what are your plans for this coming season? You planning on taking a trip to Mississippi this year?
Oh, there's no doubt I'll be in Mississippi, you know, multiple times. You know, it's, you know, I've been looking at games and stuff, haven't settled yet on a certain game or even a couple of games yet. With everything in August, especially around here in Georgia, around Atlanta, and then now a couple of big events around the Birmingham Hoover area for kickoff classics, and we got the Corky Kell here in Atlanta. You know, we got the Freedom Bowl, which comes up the Labor Day weekend when there's 7 games in 2 days in Atlanta. So I won't be out of the state too much other than being in Hoover for a doubleheader late in August when you got some nationally ranked teams and multiple SEC commits going head-to-head. But I'll likely be in Mississippi sometime in August, maybe for a couple of days to watch practices or maybe see some younger guys and talk to them and get some pictures for the network, you know, early evaluations, things like that. But I think once we get into – you know, mid to late September and October, November, I'll be much more active in Mississippi for sure. So many good players, specifically for the 2019 class. I think, especially at the top, the best I've seen in my 14, 15 years in this industry. So a lot of guys to see that, a lot of guys that intrigue me from the younger guys as well.
Now, Nakobe Dean, obviously he's the highest ranked player in the state of Mississippi, and I think pretty close to five-star territory. Is there anything he could do with his play this coming season to warrant that fifth star, or is it more of the size factor?
Yeah, I think you hit it more, you know, on your second point, the size factor. I mean, that's been the one thing you know, I've already, just being frank, you know, I've pushed for him in that five-star discussion. I mean, you know, I've been asked to compare him and a guy like Owen Papoe. Obviously, he's here in Georgia. I've seen Owen since middle school. And they're very similar. They're a little bit both, I would say, on the shorter end that you like those premier linebackers to be. But I do think the college game specifically is trending more towards those guys when you have, you know, all the spread offenses. You want linebackers that can stay on the field all three downs, that can rush the passer, that can play in space, that can drop in coverage, that can stop the run. And those guys kind of check that. I mean, Nakobe specifically is, you know, a striker, a big hitter. He's a smart player. He's an instinctive player. He's fast. He's explosive. He's a leader. You know, he's a 4-0 kid off the field. So he checks so many boxes. I think, you know, I've told his coach this too. I mean, if he was, and even his coach said it, I mean, if he was 2 inches taller, he might be the top player in the country. You know, a little bit longer, a little bit taller. I don't know if that will hold him back from being a five-star eventually for us on Rivals, but either way, I love him. He's a premier player, a great young man, a class act, how he handles all the attention, the recruitment. He checks basically just about every box you can check. So we'll still obviously evaluate him, but he's definitely in that discussion for the fifth star right now.
Nice, nice. Now getting kind of back to your home and your roots in Georgia, Ole Miss does hold commitments currently from two members of that Buford offensive line. What do you think about Reese and Carter? And do you think their recruitments are over, or are other schools still kind of going after them?
You know, from a recruiting standpoint, you know, based on what I've heard, I think they've kind of shut it down. I think they feel good about Ole Miss. They obviously, you know, love that the head coach at Ole Miss, Matt Luke, is, you know, a former offensive line guy. He knows their position. He can be very hands-on there in teaching them and helping them develop. And, you know, they're obviously coming out of a great program, one of the top programs in the country the last, you know, decade or so, with 7 or 8 state championships here in Georgia. They put out over half a dozen, you know, close to 10 or 12 Power 5 kids almost every year. So those guys will come out ready to compete. They're developed. And, you know, those guys that come out of Buford, now they have a new head coach. It's his second year. John Ford's there. From, you know, now Jess Simpson was there, now the D-line coach at University of Miami under Mark Richt. And he won those state titles, and he had so much success there. But really, you never really see guys commit, decommit, flip-flop, just a different type of program. It's a private school or semi-private city school. They're real big on academics, you know, keeping your word when you commit, you know, commit and be done with it. So I don't think you'll see a lot of flopping unless something unexpected comes up with those two guys. But again, they're very good offensive linemen. They'll come out very physically prepared. I think Carter, a little bit stronger, a little bit thicker. I think Reese, maybe Ben's a little bit better. I think both those guys could take big jumps this year. You're talking about playing on the offensive line with guys like Harry Miller, an Ohio State commit, a Rivals 100 kid, and then Riley Simons, a University of Florida commit, another high three-star kid out of that Buford program that had multiple SEC offers too. So that offensive line is stacked. They have great chemistry, and I'll see them early on in August as well at a game, probably mid-August.
Okay, yeah, I think they're playing in the Corky Kell, aren't they?
They are, yeah. So we'll see them. I believe they play on the Friday, the second night. So they play the first game. I think it's August 17th. They play Tucker. So another team that's loaded that has, you know, defensive end Derek McClendon going to Florida State. So those offensive linemen will get a test, you know, right away.
Yeah, definitely. Now, down here in Oxford, Ole Miss flipped Dennis Jackson from Mississippi State yesterday. I know obviously he didn't go to a Rivals camp, but did you see him at all in 7-on-7 this season? And what did you think if you did?
Yeah, I've seen him in 7-on-7. I've seen him at the Future 50 in Orlando early in January. And you know, I'm pretty high on Dennis. I mean, I think, you know, he's kind of sneaky fast. He's not going to be a guy that goes out there and steps off the bus and wows you with his frame. And he's not the 6'4", 6'5", 225-pound Julio Jones, or he's not that kind of guy. But he looks kind of like the average Joe. Comes off the bus, you know, the average kid, good length, you know, average size for a wide receiver. But then you watch him play, gets consistent separation, quick out of his breaks. To me, he's one of the best route runners in the South. And that's great from where he comes from, a small town in Mississippi. I don't think people have seen enough of him, in my opinion, but catches everything, good catch radius, smart, not scared to block on the perimeter. Again, another guy that maybe doesn't have that one thing that wows you. He's not going to be some 4.35 guy, at the NFL combine in 4 years. He's not going to be a guy that's 6'4". He's not going to be that guy, but I think he's going to be a guy you look up on a Saturday afternoon. All of a sudden, he has 8 catches for 141 and 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's that kind of guy. He's going to be, I think, very productive at Ole Miss. And that was a great flip. I know, obviously, what Ole Miss is doing with the wide receivers and having a guy like A.J. Brown. They had D.K. Metcalf. I mean, they're really building something there at the receiver position. And all those guys are coming from in-state schools. So they're doing a great job. And I think Dennis was a great flip for Ole Miss.
Now, obviously, Mingo hasn't made a decision one way or the other yet. But Mingo was the only representative, at least in the 2019 class, from the state of Mississippi at the five-star challenge, which we had talked about a little bit earlier. What were your takeaways from that, and how did he stack up against the national-level competition?
Yeah, I think he definitely held his own. I don't think he jumped down again. It's such a small sample size at the five-star. I mean, they're playing, a handful of games, and you have guys like us who are, looking at everything from – Like my assignment for that day when the 7-on-7s were going on was offensive line and defensive line. So I spent a lot of my time focused on O-line, D-line drills, the one-on-one sessions, and so on. So I missed a couple of 7-on-7 games that kind of overlapped each other. But when I did watch him, I watched him going through the drills early on and then caught his last game and a half. And just talking to other analysts, too, within the Rivals group, I think he did a great job. I mean, he's a guy that, again – I think unless you see him in person, you don't realize how good he is. And I think, you don't realize how big he is. He's a big kid, 6'2.5", 6'3". I would say he's physical, has a great frame, can catch the ball in traffic. He'll make that tough catch across the middle. Again, I think the biggest question with him has been, his speed. How fast is he? Can he get vertical against SEC-type corners and DBs? And that's still maybe a little bit of a question for me. He doesn't – those guys don't get time very often. You don't see him in Mississippi go against, maybe the elite corners week in and week out. And that was still maybe a question. I have questions on, or if you want to call it concerns, call it what you will. But obviously he's a four-star player for a reason. Great hands, strong hands, smart kid, physical, makes the tough catch in traffic. And from what I saw, definitely held his own in that five-star challenge setting.
Yeah, definitely. I would say that, obviously we saw him back in February, and I'm sure just seeing the transformation from February to then, just seeing his progression and how he continues to develop, being trained and everything, I'm sure it was eye-opening.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, too, knowing Mingo from last year, a year ago, and seeing him at a couple 7-on-7s, last summer, I was at a school last spring. Then I saw him again early last fall and then all the way up to now. So you're talking about roughly, year and a half. I think the biggest thing, too, for me with Mingo is he's much more confident. He believes in himself. He's a quiet kid, doesn't like all the hoopla around him, doesn't, welcome the attention, doesn't try to draw attention to himself. So when seeing him now compared to a year ago, just seeing him go up against the best guys and kind of believe that he can beat those guys. And in this game, confidence is everything. So going out there and believing he can beat that guy in front of him and take him deep or get him off the line of scrimmage or whatever it may be, that's been a big improvement for me as well.
Yeah, definitely. Now, talk a little bit about, if you could, the 5.7 Rivals ranking, right on the cusp of from 3-star to 4-star. Because a lot of people, at least on our message board and Ole Miss fans, don't really understand why those 5.7s aren't 5.8s and why those 5.7s aren't down at the 5.5 level.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing. When you involve those numbers like that, they're definitely going to cause, lead to some questions about kind of what that means. And, I think we all kind of have our opinion, on that, the 5.5, 5.6, 5.7, 5.8. Obviously, we know 6.1. is the top mark on Rivals.com from a recruiting ranking standpoint, being that premier, what we kind of call that franchise type of player. that consider basically a guy we feel can go probably 3 and out, be that first day pick in the NFL. It's a very thin line between 5'8 to 5'7 and same way from 5'7 to 5'6. I mean, you know, we go with the 5'7, we feel that's kind of right underneath what we think could be, you know, an All-American type of candidate, a guy that kind of pushes himself for that second, third team All-American vote, to that 5'7 guy being that more of a, you know, second team All-Conference kind of guy, or in that discussion for that All-Conference guy. But still, the 5'7 guys we consider, and we have meetings all the time on rankings and separating those guys, it's not easy, you know, in the they're all very similar guys. I think a 6.1 or even a 6.0, obviously I think you separate those guys. Those separate themselves, I think, for us. Once you get to that, you know, 5'9", 5'8", 5'7", there's a lot of similar players in that group that could maybe, you know, 100 spots higher or 50 spots lower, and that could change everything from a star to a rival's rating, you know. And the 5'7s are still top 800 players in the country. You know, obviously me being a recruiting analyst, you know, I get a lot of questions, whether it be from players, parents, coaches, about, you know, why my kid or why is this kid here and my kid's not here or whatever, about rankings. And I try to always, my biggest thing to them is, look, if you're ranked 3 stars or above, you're probably a top 1,500 player in the country. You know, and we're talking about Florida alone puts out 500 Power 5 kids. You know, Georgia now is pushing 275, 300 Power 5 kids. So, I mean, you're talking about, look at the numbers and the biggest scope of things. You're still a special player. But I get it. 5'7 is even tricky for me trying to rank guys 5'7, 5'8, or even 5'6. 5'7, the best way probably to explain it, we expect those guys in our region, the 5'7s, to be very good impact players, maybe 2 to 3 year starters in college, and be at the end of their career, you know, up for, you know, all conference type of recognition. Will they be all Americans? We would say probably not. Do we expect that? Could they be second, third team, all ACC, all Big Ten, all SEC? That's a possibility. We think those guys have a chance to be drafted somewhere in those rounds 1 through 7 when that time comes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. I mean, I understand it, you know, being around it for a few years now and kind of seeing the results. You know, when you see kids from like the class of 2016 and 2015 and you see how their college careers progress, you kind of understand the rivals ranking system and why it is the way it is. Now, kind of jumping into my last couple bit of questions. How do you rank evaluations? Obviously, you know, we've got rivals camps, we've got, you know, the 5-star challenge, you've got 7-on-7 all over the place, and you've got film. How do you kind of rank that, and what kind of do you place as the number one priority?
For me, there's nothing bigger than seeing guys in person, and people that know me in this business for a long time, I've been that way from day one. When it comes to, you know, I take it serious, you know, evaluation. Yeah, we're going to miss guys. I mean, that's just human nature. I mean, NFL GMs draft guys in the top 5 and miss guys. I mean, it's just, you know, we're going to definitely hit and miss, but I think definitely over time, I think we've gotten better about hitting more than we miss. You know, from, I think huddle changed everything without question, but seeing guys in person, live evaluations, to me, there's not even a close second for that. And that's whether it be a practice, at camps, obviously games. Yeah, I want to see guys when they're fully padded up and going 100%. 7-on-7s are nice. You know, I don't put a ton of stock. I mean, you're going to see guys though, like receivers or even DBs that you know, shine in those situations, or quarterbacks, of course, that make good decisions, show the arm strength and show the accuracy, or receivers that make good adjustments, show that separation speed, or DBs that can lock down other guys. You're going to see things like that, but I love seeing guys that are 100% live, fully padded, whether it's against their teammates or against another team. To me, there's no better way to evaluate. And you're talking about, you know, for me, you know, I got to look at some of the best guys in the country, being blessed to be located in the South. So I get to cover, you know, obviously my home state, Georgia, then go to Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, 3 of the best states in the country that produce top-end talent, you know, in the South. And I get to see cream of the crop players for, you know, 4 cycles, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, every year. So I want to see guys that are those premier players in practice, you know, and I take a lot from that with their attitude.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Yeah.
When they get beat, how do they respond? You know, and those things mean a lot to me when I'm trying to separate a guy from maybe 6'0 to 5'9 or 5'9, 5'8. Those things play a big role for me.
Hey, that makes a lot of sense. And really, last question. I'm going to give you three of the current Ole Miss commits that are rated 5.7, and I want to know which one you think might have the best chance to end up a 4-star. Is that work?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, we've got De'Andre Prince, the cornerback from Charleston. We've got Ashanti C. Strunk, the linebacker from Louisville. And we've got Caleb Etienne, the offensive tackle from Warren Easton in New Orleans.
Yeah, I think those are three, you know, intriguing guys. You know, if I had to say one off the top that I like the upside, I think it also goes with position value. I would say Caleb Etienne from Warren Easton. I think offensive tackles, you know, I've seen him in the camp setting. I actually will see him play early in September. I'll be at a Warren Easton game. He's a guy that, you know, I'm pretty high on that. I obviously want to see, you know, in person, you know, padded up. But obviously he's a left tackle, or he can play right tackle in college too. But I think he's a very intriguing kid. We both saw him in Mobile at the Rivals 3-Strike camp on a rainy, soggy day. But definitely I think Helt was probably a top five offensive line, maybe even top three, you know, that day for me based on what I saw. But he's a very intriguing kid. I mean, I think the board knows, and you know that I like the C-Strunk kid too. I mean, he's a guy that's very intriguing to me athletically. He'll strike you. He's aggressive. He's a guy I like the way he flies around. And then you talk about a guy that doesn't talk much to the media, doesn't do a whole lot to promote himself, De'Andre Prince. Obviously a versatile kid that plays pretty much everything for his high school team in Charleston, playing receiver, you know, DB, you know, returns kicks, things like that. I mean, he could probably be maybe still in this class. You know, we'll be interested to see kind of what he does, you know, this fall. He's obviously real thin, has to get bigger and fill out that frame, but he has some get up in him. He's quick. He has great reaction quickness. But if I had to pick one out of that group, I would say Caleb from Louisiana, just because offensive tackle made a big impression on me in Mobile. I already have his game circled on my calendar for that first weekend in September. So I look forward to seeing him making a fresh new evaluation and kind of going from there.
Chad, I mean, this is going to sound like a gotcha question, but it's got to be asked. It's on everyone's mind. Why is the entire Rivals Network so biased against Louisiana Monroe? I mean, it's obvious that all the kids they're recruiting are 5-star, 6-star kids, and yet you guys won't give them anything more than like 2 stars, 3 stars. I mean, what's up?
Well, when I was brought into Rivals, they made me sign that in my contract that we had to be biased towards that school.
There you go.
And keep them down and, you know, make them only sign 5.2s and 5.3s. So I'm just kind of following my orders right now.
I knew it. Look at you, taught investigative reporting skills right there. I exposed him. You had him all set up, and then bam.
Hey, Chad, it's great to finally get you on this podcast.
When the Renaissance happens and the championship comes to the Bayou, remember this conversation, because we overcame all sorts of obstacles, including a mandate from Rivals.com to keep the Warhawks down. Remember that.
No, yeah, I'm going to read when my contract comes up. I'm going to definitely negotiate and try to get that withdrawn from my contract, so I can definitely try making those guys, those 5'9", 6'0", and 6'1", how they deserve to be, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, line item veto on your contract. That's the key.
Yeah, Chad, it's great to have you on this podcast. We'll definitely have to do this again sometime. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, I look forward to it, man. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thanks, Chad. That does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Billy's Pecans. We'll see you next week. Take care.